Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not connected with us yet on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Polyant Labs is a Phoenix-based early-stage blockchain incubator. The incubator was formed in 2018 to help identify and foster blockchain innovation. Since that time, Polyant Labs has raised over $5 million to fund blockchain-based ideas that can build out the market. The lab is working with a number of blockchain startups, and with the number of investments into blockchain expected to exceed $60 billion in the next 5 years, mass adoption of blockchain is already happening. Polyant Labs is even sponsoring a new podcast that speaks to the blockchain community called Fork the Product. Understanding that conversation is key. And here today to tell us more about Fork the Product, the mission of the podcast, and blockchain technology is Nick Casares, once again from Polyant Labs. And Nick, welcome back to Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thanks so much for having me on.
And you're certainly more than welcome, and Happy New Year to you, and great to have you back with us. Now that Polyant Labs is celebrating the first anniversary, and congratulations on that as well, what are some huge wins you had this year, and are there any projects that you're currently working on now?
There are. This past year has been a whirlwind, and thank you very much for the congratulations on the year anniversary. It's been a really exciting past year for us. So 2019 was all about kind of getting our house in order to really start jumping on some of the opportunities emerging in the blockchain space. And so in 2019, our team spent a lot of time visiting events, getting connected with the community, and really kind of putting a stake in the ground to let people know what Polyant is all about. And so in 2019, we made a handful of investments into some exciting blockchain and crypto adjacent companies. When I say crypto adjacent, I mean those companies that are in the ecosystem that are supporting cryptocurrency and blockchain technology that may or may not be directly connected to the tech or have blockchain tech at its core, but it's in support of the ecosystem. So startups like Crypto Canary, which is a review site, a community-driven review site for cryptocurrency projects, they are also expanding into discovery of blockchain projects and decentralized applications and all kinds of great ways to apply the technology. We are also working with a new startup that's tackling fake news. So they're taking a blockchain-based approach on helping consumers really get to the bottom of what's truthful or what's not truthful in news, and helping them fact-find and make better decisions about what they're reading and consuming. And then we have a number of investments coming up here, new startups starting with us actually this month. So we'll be kicking that off soon. I can't go into too much detail about them yet, but I can say that they are both technology to support blockchain, so some infrastructure type technology. And then we are also working with some fun stuff in the crypto art space, virtual reality space. So a lot of really interesting emerging technologies coming together.
Certainly exciting times for sure. Now, in our last conversation, you talked about some of the problems with the overall user experience about blockchain. Can you begin telling us about some of those problems and how they can be improved?
Sure. Yeah. So one of the big challenges for blockchain and cryptocurrency as an industry and as a technology is really helping people both understand and use the technology. So it starts with understanding what it is. Blockchain and cryptocurrency are a set of technologies. They're very interrelated, but they really do introduce some new ideas, and they challenge some concepts out in the world. Things like decentralization. So when you have a technology that takes computing power or file storage and spreads it across thousands of computers all over the world, nobody really owns that technology. It's collectively owned by everybody participating in the network, and it's collectively maintained, and the community is responsible for it. That's not a concept that's very familiar to most consumers, especially when they're used to dealing with the Facebooks and the Apples and the Microsofts of the world. People have an expectation that they're going to go to one place to get a service. And decentralized technology, which is very closely related to blockchain, is challenging that notion. And so for a lot of people, getting their mind around that concept, I think, is going to take some time. And it's proving challenging to really help people understand how this technology can both liberate their data and improve things like privacy in our digital lives. I think the second challenge of blockchain and crypto is actually using it. This technology introduces new rules to the game. Purchasing something with cryptocurrency requires that you have a cryptocurrency wallet. It's another piece of software that people aren't used to using. It's not that complicated, but it's another layer of friction for people trying to get involved with the system and trying to use this technology. So we are hopeful that those things are going to change. Samsung this year announced that they are incorporating blockchain technology directly into their phones. Apple released a cryptography toolkit for developers. So we're seeing some progress on those fronts. And I think it's just a matter of time before consumers start to see this technology really show up in their life, and it will get to that frictionless point. It's just going to take some time.
Certainly some helpful details there, and thanks for that. Now, as we mentioned earlier, you're involved with another project called Fork the Product. Tell us more about this podcast. It sounds exciting.
I'd love to. Yeah, so Fork the Product is a passion project for me. I co-host that. My co-host is Zach Cohen. He's based in New York, and I'm here in San Diego, and so we're coast to coast. But we started the project a couple of years ago, really out of our own curiosity. So we both got involved in the blockchain space and wanted to learn more about it and see how people were really using it, we started to ask each other questions based on our backgrounds. So my background is in product management and user experience design. Zach has a background in product management. And so we both kind of have a perspective on technology and how that manifests into products in our world. And we started looking at blockchain and crypto, and we said, wow, this is really fascinating. But I wonder how people are thinking about building products with this technology. Because, again, you have to think about those things like the consumer adoption, the user experience. Can this easily fit into somebody's life? Is it competitive with the other things that are available? And so we wanted to get to that layer of understanding with some of the projects that are happening in the space. And we brainstormed a bunch of ideas, and I said, well, what if we just, ask questions. And so Zach said, let's start a podcast. Let's reach out to these people that are working on these projects, and let's ask them questions and see how they're thinking about things like, how do you manage a product in the blockchain space? How do you build a product? How do you think about the user experience? And that was really the genesis of Fork the Product. So we've gone into our second season now. We just released that a couple of weeks ago, and have had some really fascinating conversations with the people behind the projects in the blockchain and crypto space.
Nick, if you would, take that a step further. What inspired you and your co-host, Zach Cohen, to start the podcast to begin with, and what are you hoping to accomplish through the podcast?
I was personally inspired by the format of podcasting. I think it's a very rich information format. It's one of those things that you can pop in the earbuds, you can go to the gym, you can do your chores, and you can absorb information on the go. So I've been a podcast fan for a long time. Zach also is a fan of the format. And we really like the idea that podcasts are a sort of conversational way to get information and to get exposure to these ideas. And so for us, the inspiration was, let's have conversations with people that are actually working on this stuff and try to answer our own questions first. But then let's try to pull those answers together in the podcast, and let's share those back to the community so that we can start to build a resource for people that are also building projects in the space.
It goes without being said, I'm a huge podcast fan and have been for years as well, so I certainly understand where you're coming from and what an awesome platform to get your message out. Today we're joined by Nick Caceres once again, the product director for Polyant Labs, an early stage business incubator, helping entrepreneurs fast track blockchain innovations here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, you just completed work on season 2, and Polyant is sponsoring the entire season. What attracted Polyant to sponsor Fork the Product?
That's a great question. And really, it's all about the overlap. So Polyant is looking at all of these different projects and these startups in the blockchain and the crypto space, and really looking pretty widely because the landscape is so young and it's yet to mature, and so there's opportunity really everywhere. And Fork the Product similarly is looking at projects with a pretty wide lens, knowing that the space is still evolving and that some of these projects are going to change over time. And as we started reaching out to guests to fork the product, I realized that this was the perfect overlap between what Polyint is hoping to help fuel in terms of innovation and also what we're hoping to uncover in terms of insights with the podcast. And so I approached Brad Robertson, our founder, and you know, pitched him on the idea of sponsorship and the idea that this would be a great overlap between the audience and the types of startups and founders that we're looking for. And it's turned out to be a wonderful partnership. In fact, we've actually started incubating one of the companies that we actually reached out to in season two and interviewed with. So we're excited about this partnership.
And with reason, for sure. Now let's shift gears a little bit here. Let's talk about NFTs. What are non-fungible tokens and how do they work?
Oh, it's such a great question. So NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, are a sort of, it's a tech term, right? It's kind of jargon laden. So I'm going to take it a step back and just break this down a little bit. So the idea of fungibility is not something that shows up in our everyday vocabulary or everyday interactions. So I think a better way to kind of approach this is to think about something that is unique. So when something is non-fungible, it is a one of one or a one of a limited number of things. And so the idea of non-fungibility is the idea that you can have a unique item, right? So a non-fungible token is a way to represent on the blockchain that you have ownership of a unique item. Where that gets interesting is we haven't ever really had a way to have to prove digital ownership of things before, because it's too easy to copy and paste something. I can take a screenshot of a picture and suddenly that picture is now my picture, and I can put that on my website or I can email it around. And we've seen plenty of opportunities or plenty of examples where this goes the wrong direction for creators, for artists, for people that are trying to maintain the integrity of their work, and somebody comes along and picks it up for their own and they distribute that. With an NFT, it gives a creator a way to basically create a work of art or a unique item and then transfer that ownership of that unique item to another person through the blockchain. And so where this gets really interesting is it really opens up new avenues for the idea of proving ownership or collecting things.
And certainly appreciate your setting us straight on NFTs. For sure. Now, there is so much going on in the blockchain crypto space right now. For instance, I see Fork the Product features interviews with people working in the crypto art realm. What is crypto art and how does it differ from traditional types of art?
So crypto art, you know, I think depending on who you're talking to, probably comes with its own interesting definition. But the way that I think about crypto art is really the incorporation of the NFT into the artwork. So when an artist creates a piece of work, whether that's digital or physical, they are then sort of stamping that work with the NFT and giving people a way to actually purchase that work, to trade that work, to prove ownership of that work and provenance of that artwork as it moves from collector to collector. So again, it goes back to that ability to being able to digitally represent our ownership and our participation in a collection of artwork.
And that certainly does make sense. Now, it also looks like season two of Fork the Product will include guests who work in decentralized finance or DeFi apps. Can you explain to our listeners what DeFi is?
Absolutely. Decentralized finance is kind of another area of crypto and blockchain that we're seeing emerging and we're seeing a lot of potential with. But decentralized finance is really a way for anybody, regardless of their you know, access to banking systems or finance technology or credit rating, are able to participate in the opportunity to do things like earn interest on their investments, on their cryptocurrency. So there are several fairly large projects out there, things like Maker, which really it's a very easy way for people to take their cryptocurrency to put it into a pool of funds that earns interest, and then to withdraw that interest at any point in time, all without access to a bank, all without an intermediary, and real time. So somebody can put their cryptocurrency into Maker tomorrow, and they can pull it out at the end of next week, and they're going to get that interest when they leave that pool. So it's really an interesting way to think about democratizing access to financial tools and technology so that people can improve the quality of their lives.
Another question for you. We discussed some of the topics your podcast is covering in season two. Let's talk about some of the people you've had the chance to interview on Fork the Product. Can you discuss some of the founders you've talked to and what they are doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, so on the topic of DeFi, we spoke with Leighton Cusack, who is the CEO of a project called Pool Together. Pool Together is something called a no-loss lottery, which means that you can buy a ticket to the lottery, and the pool of money generated by those tickets earns interest, and then at the end of the lottery period, the interest is given away to a lottery winner, and everybody gets their money back. So it's literally, there's no loss, but there's always a winner. So that's a really interesting aspect or a really interesting example of a DeFi project. We also spoke with John Crane, who is the CEO of SuperRare. And SuperRare is a digital art marketplace that really encapsulates this idea of digital art and NFTs. And if you go to superrare.co, you'll see just an amazing collection of artwork and people doing some really interesting things in digital art and trading and selling and buying that through non-fungible tokens. And then finally, we spoke with Alan Carr and Bryce Bladen, who are from Dapper Labs. And Dapper Labs is the company behind CryptoKitties. CryptoKitties is a massively popular game on the Ethereum blockchain that really blew up and in fact, almost took down the Ethereum blockchain about a year and a half ago. CryptoKitties is a collectible card game. So you have these really adorable little cats, which you purchase for cryptocurrency, and then you can trade those cats, you can breed those cats and turn them into other cats. There's some really fun sort of gamification and even a DNA type model built into the game. So it's this really fun way to interact with the blockchain and actually earn money as the value of those cats appreciates, because of course those cats become represented by NFTs, which means there's only one of them, which makes them valuable to some people. And we've seen some actually ridiculously expensive CryptoKitties emerge in the past year. But they have a rabid fan base, and it's a really great way to see how the technology can really flourish.
I'd say that is pretty awesome and a lot of exciting information shared here today. Can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today once again on Enterprise Radio. I can't think of a better way to kick off 2020 on EPN to have you on the program. Tell our listeners once again how they can find Fork the Product so they can give it a listen. And if anyone wants to know about Polyant, can you tell people how to find Polyant Labs online as well?
Absolutely. You can find Fork the Product at forktheproduct.com. You can also find us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, or anywhere else you like to listen to your podcast. Just search for Fork the Product. And for more information about Polyant and our incubation process, people can go to polyant.io. That's polyient.io.
And that's certainly easy enough. Again, Mr. Katsaris, all the best. And thanks once again for joining us here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Nick Katsaris, the product director for Polyant Labs, an early stage business incubator helping entrepreneurs fast track blockchain innovations by providing them with the insight, guided services, support, working capital, and direction needed to power their next-gen solutions. And for more information on the podcast Fork the Product, visit forktheproduct.com. And for Polyant Labs, visit polyant.io. And both links will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. And again, this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.